WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, broadcasting from the heart of the Tropical Depression. It is Derek Gary. It is The Big Picture with you tonight until 9 o'clock. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number, with the usual caveat, please do not call until a break. Wait until I take a break if you got to call and weigh in on something, because I can't talk, answer the phone, cue things up, blog everything that I'm supposed to do here. I can do like one of those five things at a time, and maybe two if my brain is really firing on all cylinders, but it's a challenge. The phone just becomes something else in the midst of all of this. But anyway, we are in the middle of the Tropical Depression. This is the best kind of depression because it comes with two shots of rum and a little paper cocktail umbrella. So you can enjoy this depression. This is going to be around all night tonight. If you are out on the roads tonight, be aware you may find yourself in sudden drenching downpours with low visibility. There is a strong risk of flooding on roads everywhere, including 93 North over there by Assembly Row. That floods. I discovered that earlier this year. So just be careful if you're out on the roads tonight. All this is going to clear out here before tomorrow morning, and then we get a beautiful weekend coming up for Labor Day. Just be careful tonight. That's the main thing. If you're going to be out on the roads tonight, be safe, be mindful. We got the tropical D's going on around here. Other things that we got going on around here that you may or may not want to think about, but that you absolutely need to pay attention to, is the Eastern Equine Encephalitis Virus, also known as Triple E. From CBS Boston, Triple E takes life of Fairhaven mother. Threat levels continue to rise. This is the problem with Eastern Equine Encephalitis. It can kill anybody. Normally, this stuff comes around and we say, hey, compromised immune system, respiratory problems, probably want to stay away from the water or don't go outside or what have you. Triple E can kill anybody. This is not something that you want to mess around with. So from CBS Boston, the first person to die of Eastern Equine Encephalitis in Massachusetts this year was a Fairhaven mother of three and real estate agent. Laurie Sylvia died at Tufts Medical Center, according to family and friends. For 17 years, Sylvia sold real estate for the Pelletier firm of New Bedford. Quote, not too many people like her come about in this lifetime. To have known her was a privilege. It's absolutely a shock and heartbreaking, said David Pelletier, who worked with Sylvia. Triple E is real. It's not just something that happens in faraway places. It's here. People need to take the precautions necessary, you know, thinking that it couldn't happen to them, but it could. It's tragic, Pelletier added. Sylvia's diagnosis was the fourth in the state. Triple E symptoms can range from a stiff neck, headache, and lack of energy to dangerous complications like inflammation and swelling of the brain. WBZ-TV's Dr. Malika Marshall said, quote, most people don't develop symptoms of Triple E until 4 to 10 days after they've been bitten by an infected mosquito, and those symptoms often feel like the flu, headache, high fever, vomiting, chills, but then that can progress to disorientation and confusion, seizures, and coma. The risk of Triple E will remain until the first killing frost. On Monday, the noose is tightening around us here in Medford, folks. On Monday, a confirmed case of Triple E in a horse in Methuen increased the town's risk level to critical. The town said the horse died Friday and later tested positive for the virus. As a response, the town opened its emergency operations center and announced no evening activities are allowed on public property after 7 p.m. Areas west of I-93 in Methuen will be sprayed for mosquitoes starting Wednesday. Nearby Andover and Lawrence are now at a high risk level. In total, 24 communities are at critical risk, 24 are at high risk, and 55 are at moderate risk. And in case you're wondering where those communities are, there's a little chunk in the Merrimack Valley, pretty much closing in on Wakefield, closing in on Reading and Stoneham in that area. There's a big chunk in south central Massachusetts, north of the Rhode Island line. And then pretty much anywhere you go, apart from Cape Cod, pretty much anywhere you go in the southern, southeastern part of Massachusetts, that whole area has got triple E warnings. You do not want to mess around with this, okay? This disease can kill anybody. And this is one of the joys that we have of living with mosquitoes and living in this part of the country. There was a West Nile case up in New Hampshire or Maine as well. Another disease you don't want. So, what do you do if you don't want to get triple E? Well, one thing that the state has advised is if you see dead birds, this happened in Fairhaven, do not touch the dead birds. Do not pick up the dead birds. Do not try and bring the dead birds to the police station or any place else. Leave the dead birds where they are. If you absolutely must remove a dead bird, pick it up with a shovel, throw it in a trash barrel, throw it somewhere where it can decompose and not bother anybody. Don't handle any dead birds that you see because they may have triple E. And we don't know that you can get triple E from a dead bird, but we don't know that you can't get triple E from a dead bird. So don't handle the dead birds. Don't handle anything dead. Generally, good rule to live by. So what do you do if you want to avoid the mosquitoes? Well, there is a standard set of rules, and I'm going to add one to that standard set that a lot of people overlook, including the people who are supposed to keep us informed about these things. Number one is you want to avoid outdoor activities from dusk until dawn. So from about 7 o'clock at night until around 7 in the morning at this time of year, you just don't want to be outside because that is the time when mosquitoes are most active. So dusk to dawn, stay inside. They say wear dark clothing. The dark clothing makes you less attractive to mosquitoes. I don't know that that's true or not. I will tell you, you should wear long sleeves so they don't have a chance to go after your arms. You want to keep as much of yourself covered as possible. If you are of the follically challenged persuasion, like myself, probably want to wear a hat. So you want to minimize the amount of exposed skin while you're outdoors. Another good idea at this time of year, stay away from lakes, stay away from ponds, stay away from rivers, stay away from places where there is water. And if there is water on your property, you want to dump that out. Okay? You got a bucket sitting outside that's got some water in it, dump that out. You got an inverted bucket outside with a little water on top of it, dump that out. Put that bucket inside. Anything that can hold water, even a tiny amount of water, is enough for mosquitoes to breed. And mosquitoes hatch pretty quickly from the larva and then head out looking for people to bite. So any place that you might have standing water on your property, circulating water, if you got a koi pond or something like that, that's not as much of an issue. You want to make sure there's no little areas on the edges of that where water just sits and stands. But for the most part, it is standing water that you need to get rid of. The next thing you want to do is to use mosquito repellent. They recommend DEET. I got nothing against DEET. If you're allergic to it, that's probably going to be an issue for you. But if you're not allergic to DEET, it works for the most part. Never assume that mosquito repellent is going to do 100% of the job. You still want to be wearing long sleeves, keep your skin covered. You know, put on your long sleeves, spray the DEET on top of that. Spray everything, by the way. They will fly up your pant legs and go bite you there. So you want to be kind of head to toe. You know, it's not Axe body spray. You're not doing a spritz, and then you're like, hey, I'm mosquito repellent. No. Just because you can smell it doesn't mean you have it everywhere you need it. So go ahead, douse yourself in that DEET. Not, you know, super high exposure levels because it's chemical, might not be good for everybody, but don't just spritz a little bit on and be like, okay, mosquito repellent. No, use the mosquito repellent. The final one, the one that most people don't talk about, and this is particularly germane at this time of year because we're getting into our cool nights now and people are turning off the air conditioner and sleeping with the windows open. Or maybe you still have your air conditioner running. Mosquitoes will get into your home. No one ever seems to talk about this. Mosquitoes will get into your home and they will bite you while you sleep. So what you want to do is make sure that your screens are in one piece. If there are any holes larger than the mesh of the screen, you want to cover those somehow. I recommend duct tape. Just take a piece of duct tape, slap it on there. Done. If there are gaps around your air conditioner where you can see daylight, that is probably enough room for a mosquito to get in. You want to seal that up with duct tape. If there is a gap where your screen meets the window, you want to seal that with duct tape. Basically, get out the duct tape and seal up any gaps that you see around your windows, any holes in your screens, and you'll be fine. Okay? There's a reason why people in some parts of the world sleep under mosquito netting. It's because they know mosquitoes will get into your house and bite you while you sleep. So you want to make sure that they don't have any opportunity to get in. Focus primarily on bedrooms and rooms where you spend a lot of time at night. You know, you don't necessarily need to go do the kitchen. Mosquitoes, we generally think, are attracted to the carbon monoxide, the carbon dioxide, I should say, that we give off when we breathe. So if you're sleeping and there's a lot of carbon dioxide in the room, the mosquito is going to be attracted to that. If you're not in a room, the mosquito won't be attracted to that. So just make sure screens, air conditioners, you've got those pretty well sealed up. If you sleep near a window that is open, this is absolutely necessary. If you don't sleep near open windows, it's a little bit less necessary, but don't take chances with this, is what I'm saying. So follow those rules, okay? Avoid outdoor activity from dusk until dawn, and stay away from water, lakes, rivers, ponds, places where mosquitoes like to breed. Get rid of any standing water on your property that you may have. They say wear dark clothing. I think researchers would argue with that, but certainly keep yourself covered up. Long sleeves, hats, whatever it takes. Use mosquito repellent and seal up any gaps in your bedroom windows or places where people sleep at night. It's the most you can do. If you start getting flu-like symptoms, particularly if you have an itchy bug bite somewhere, you probably want to go down to the urgent care. You probably want to go to the hospital and say, look, I got bit by a mosquito. I'm concerned, and have them take a look at you. So, Tripoli, we're going to be dealing with it until probably late September with temperatures the way they are. Maybe we get a hard killing frost sometime before the end of September, but that's a little bit uncommon around here. So probably until the end of September, we're going to be dealing with the Tripoli. So just be mindful when you're out there. The mosquito population tends to thin out as it gets cooler around here, but they are going to be around. And if you are in one of the areas where Tripoli has been detected, and that includes the Merrimack Valley, pretty much everything from 495 down to Cape Cod in the southern part of the state, in the south central part of the state, up above the Rhode Island border, you want to be very mindful. You want to be very mindful and expect that it's going to spread. Expect that we will have more of these cases in the coming weeks. I will keep you up to date. Wish I had happier things to talk about than mosquito-borne illness, but here we are. In infuriating local news, because there always has to be some of that, right? It's not the Commonwealth of Massachusetts unless they're finding new and creative ways to irritate us. And no state organization is perhaps more irritating than the T. And the T has found an exciting new way to irritate everybody. They're going to have an assessment of their safety protocols. They hired a bunch of consultants to come in and examine their safety protocols. Turns out the MBTA derails more than any other public transit system in the United States of America. There's a title you don't want to claim. Our trains derail more than anybody else's. How does that happen? How does that happen? How do we have more derailments than anyone else in the country when all we hear about, all our politicians talk about is the T, the T, the T. We got to fix the T. We got to fix the T. Keolis is coming in to fix the T. We got to do something about the T. Well, it seems that the more politicians pay attention to something, the more horribly broken it gets. And we have reached peak meddling. Believe me when I say we have reached peak meddling. From NBC 10 Boston. Oh, man. Consultants hired to assess safety procedures for the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, current record holder in the United States of America for most derailments, are reportedly coming at a high price. Who would have guessed? A group hired by the transportation agency to examine their safety protocols costs. You sit down for this. Sit down for this number. A group hired by the transportation agency, that would be the MBTA, national leader in derailments, to examine their safety protocols costs $35,000 a month. $35,000 a month in consulting fees, the Boston Globe reports. Documents reveal that Carolyn Flowers, the former Federal Transit Administration director, will be paid $499 per hour, while Carmen Bianco, the former leader of the Metropolitan Transit Authority, will receive more than $400 hourly. The group will be led by former U.S. Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood, the Globe reports. Ray LaHood, by the way, $35,000 a month plus expenses. The consultants were called following the June 11th derailment of an MBTA Red Line train near the JFK UMass station in Dorchester. The derailment damaged signaling equipment that is expected to be repaired by October. The derailment was followed by power problems, wire problems, and a train fire on the troubled service. $35,000 a month that we are going to pay to have former Transportation Secretary Roy LaHood come in here. Transit Administration Director Carolyn Flowers, $499 an hour for her. So, you know, you do the math, it's $500 an hour, right? Times 40 hours a week. What? $500 an hour times 40 hours a week is $20,000. Under a third contract, this is from the Globe, MBTA officials agreed to pay Carmen Bianco, the former head of New York's Metropolitan Transit Authority, just over $400 per hour with separate fees of $200 per hour for two members of his staff. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is the same MBTA that derails a train, shuts down the red line, and then says, we have to have our fare increases because we don't have enough money. Maybe you stop hiring the $400 and $500 and $35,000 a month consultants and spend some money on fixing the tracks. How much track can you buy for $20,000 a week? How much track can you buy for $35,000 a month? Roy LaHood's a bargain. Roy LaHood's a bargain. He's only charging $35,000 a month, okay? Carolyn Flowers, she's getting 20 grand a week. You work 4 weeks, that's $80,000 a month. Are you going to tell me for a second that these former political hacks, which is what they are, okay, these are appointed government officials. Are you going to tell me for a second that any of these people are worth this kind of money? Don't we live in a state that has the Massachusetts Engineering and Technology School or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology? Don't we have MIT here? Don't we have Harvard here? Don't we have like a monopoly on smart people under the age of 21 in the United States of America in this part of the country? You're going to tell me you couldn't go hire MIT? You couldn't hire Tufts to come in and take a look at how your rail system operates? And see if there are fundamental engineering problems with it? No, we got to go get Roy LaHood. $35,000 a month. This is why the T is failing. This is why the T is failing. Is because instead of looking in your backyard and saying, you know what, everything here is messed up, let's get an outsider to look at this. Let's get some consultants. And looking around and saying, hey, MIT's down the river. There might be a professor over there that understands how to engineer rail systems, how to engineer trains, how to engineer. There's Tufts across the river. I'm sure somebody over there knows electrical engineering and computer systems. It's only what they teach. There's got to be a professor over there that knows a thing or two about this. who would probably be happy to have the job and would take the job for 10 grand. No, we're going to pay Ray LaHood 35 grand a month, and we're going to pay Carolyn Flowers 20 grand a week to tell us what's wrong with the MBTA. I'll tell you what's wrong with the MBTA. It's falling apart. Nobody's done any maintenance on it for 20 years. You may recall a couple of months ago or a couple of years ago, they discovered they had about $2 billion sitting around in maintenance money that they hadn't spent. $2 billion in maintenance money that they had not spent. Now, maybe Ray LaHood knows something special. Maybe Carolyn Flowers has some mystical power that she can just sort of wave her arms and all of a sudden the trains are better again. Right? Because it seems to me if you're going to spend that kind of money for somebody, they better be gifted in the occult. They better have some magical power that no one else on the planet has to justify that kind of pay. Who the hell makes $500 an hour? Oh, excuse me, $4.99. Who the hell gets that kind of pay? This is why the whole thing is broken. This is why the whole thing is falling apart. It's because the politicians get at it. And they say, we need to fix this. Let's call other politicians and have them come in and tell us how to fix this. Instead of looking down the street and saying, hey, you know what? There's some smart MIT kids around here. Maybe they can help solve this problem. Maybe we could get some Tufts kids over here to offer some solutions. No, we're going to go get Roy LaHood. Because, well, he was a transportation secretary. He must know something about how to run a train system. Does he? I don't know Roy LaHood's background. I know he ain't worth 35 grand a month. Nobody's worth that kind of money. Carolyn Flowers, you are not worth $499 an hour. Carmen Bianco, you're not worth $400 an hour. Because the billable hours add up. You know, if you can come in and you can solve the problem in 10 hours, I'll give you $400 an hour. Okay? This is not going to be a 10-hour thing. All right? You are going to watch the better part of $1 million disappear into these consultants who are going to come back and author some report that no one is going to read that says, well, there were some fundamental problems with maintenance and maintenance schedules, and you need to do something about that. And then they're going to go away. For $499 an hour, okay, Carolyn Flowers, you should be down at the MBTA station personally putting the track back in place. You should be hammering the railroad spikes to secure the track. And you should be doing it faster and better than anybody else on the planet can do it. We don't need another study. We need a public transportation system that is fit for purpose. And the one we have right now is not. And $35,000 a month in consultants is not going to fix that. It's 100 and... I mean, is Carolyn Flowers working 40-hour weeks? Because now we're up to $115,000 a month in consulting fees, and we haven't even paid Roy LaHood's expenses yet. Ray LaHood. We haven't paid his expenses yet. That's just $35,000 for him to walk in and talk to you. Please. This is why the voters are angry, and the voters are rightfully angry about this. Okay? This is when you start asking your state representative, did you approve of this? Did you say this was okay? Do you have any say on who sits on the MBTA oversight board? Do you see what they're doing here? Do you see that the trains don't work? And instead of buying new track or improving signals or improving electrical systems, they're blowing $115,000 a month on consultants? Do you see a problem with this? This is where I come back to the point that when it comes to things like the MBTA, we, not the politicians, not the MBTA oversight board, not the MBTA management, we the T writers, the users, we are responsible. And we are responsible because we don't vote the bums out. When the bums show up and say, we have a solution to this problem of derailments. By the way, we're leading the nation in derailments. When the bums show up and say, we have a solution to the problem of derailments, we're going to hire consultants. The response from the voters should be, get out of here. We're not spending $500 an hour to have a transportation, the Federal Transit Administration director come in here and tell us it's broken. We know it's broken. Go hire someone who can fix it. Oh, and by the way, hire someone at a reasonable rate. You talk about income inequality in this country. Man, this has 1% written all over it. How many boats can you buy with that kind of money? Have any of these people actually ridden on public transportation? You're making $499 an hour. I'm guessing you're not using a lot of public transportation because you don't have to. You can Uber everywhere you need to go. We are responsible. We are responsible because we let our politicians get away with this sort of thing over and over and over again. And if you want this fixed, if you want this to change, you have to throw out the people who are in office. And you have to let them know why they're being thrown out. You have to hold them to account. You have to email them. You have to call them. You have to show up at their town halls and say, look, either you come up with a plan to fix the MBTA or you're gone. Those are your choices. I'm a voter. My friends here are all voters. We've had enough. Stop hiring consultants. Stop spending money that we don't have on political hacks from Washington to come up here and write some stupid report. Fix it or go. That's your choice. This is what would happen in the private sector. Okay? You hire a consultant in the private sector, it's because you got something seriously wrong with your organization. And you can't even begin to define it, let alone fix it. Or you are trying to take your organization to a different level. And you don't know how to do that. So you go out and you hire consultants. And you know what? Those consultants are going to cost you $100-$150 an hour. Maybe some of them will cost $300 an hour. Okay? They're not charging $500 an hour to come in and write a report that says your infrastructure is old and out of date. Which is what the report will find, by the way. Make no doubt about that. The ultimate problem with the MBTA is that we are prisoners to it. There is no alternative. And when there is no alternative to the transportation system, when we all have to rely on it, then we have to make the people who oversee it accountable. And the people ultimately who oversee it are our elected officials. This is happening because we are the problem. We don't vote. We don't hold our elected leaders accountable. We don't demand change. Mayor Marty walks in and says, oh, we got to do something about the T. I want a seat on the board. You're not getting a seat on the board, Mayor Marty. Governor Weld walks in and says, oh, you know, the MBTA, wow, we need a solution. Stop saying we need a solution and find one. Find one that is fast and affordable, which is what you would have to do in any other walk of life. No, instead, they're going to hire some consultants. They're going to hide under their desks. They're gonna wait to get reelected, and then the report comes out, usually sometime in the middle of January or February, when we're too busy shoveling snow to notice, that says, wow, yeah, the infrastructure here is really bad. You're going to need $10 billion to fix this. And then the consultants are going to go away, and they're going to take their $1 million, $1.5 million and disappear. And in the meantime, the trains will keep derailing. Things will keep catching on fire. Trains will just fail. No one will get anywhere they need to go. And Ray LaHood will get his $35,000 a month plus expenses. We are the problem. I don't like to bore you with financial news, especially, but I have to. And I'm going to make this as unboring as possible. So don't be like, oh, he said the word financial. I don't want to hear about the markets. I don't want to hear about... You need to know what's going on right now. If you fall into one of two categories, number one, you are human. Number two, you are breathing. If you fall into one of those two categories, hopefully you fall into both. But if you fall into one of those categories, number one, you are human. Number two, you are breathing. You need to be paying attention to what is going on in the financial markets right now. If you are invested, obviously, you're probably paying attention to what's going on right now. If you are not invested, if you don't have anything in the market because you think it's all a giant scam, that's a valid point of view. You still want to pay attention because what happens in the market tends to be a signal of recession. We've been on the recession watch here for a little while. And something new and exciting happened last week. Now, as I've said, I don't see any fundamental reasons for a recession to occur. Recessions typically happen when the economy is fragile or the economy is broken or the economy has grown as much as it can given current conditions. None of that is really the case, but everybody in the financial sector is sitting around saying the recovery has gone on too long. We must have a recession. A recession must take place. We can't have economic growth for this long. A recession must happen. And when everybody starts buying into this and everyone starts believing this, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Germany is the latest to enter into this cynical financial market view. And this is from the Associated Press. You may have heard this story last week. And let me explain it to you. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but let me explain it to you so you recognize what's going on here and what it may mean for you. From Associated Press, economic twilight zone. Bonds that charge you for lending. Imagine lending money to someone and having to pay for the privilege of doing so, or being asked to invest and informed of how much money you'll lose. Sounds absurd, but increasingly that's the global bond market these days. A rising share of government and corporate bonds are trading at negative interest yields, a financial twilight zone that took hold after the financial crisis and is accelerated on fear that a fragile global economy will be further damaged by the U.S.-China trade war. On Wednesday, for the first time ever, this is why this is a big deal, is because this is historic. The German government sold 30-year bonds at a negative interest rate. The bonds pay no coupon interest at all. Yet bidders at the auction were willing to pay more than the face value they would receive back when the bonds mature. The sale added to the mountain of negative yielding bonds around the world that investors have gobbled up, suggesting that they expect global growth and inflation to remain subpar for years to come. After all, accepting a negative yield on a bond, agreeing in effect to lose money in exchange for parking money in a safe place, could reflect expectations that yields will sink even further into negative territory. Quote, "You're essentially paying a warehouse fee by paying these negative rates," said Jim Bianco of Bianco Research in Chicago. Worldwide debt with negative rates has surged to $16.4 trillion. From $12.2 trillion in mid-July and $5.7 trillion in October. The negative yield phenomenon, 87% of it in Europe and Japan combined, is above all a sign of pessimism in the future. So, what are we talking about here? You buy a bond, right? Most people understand bonds. They understand savings bonds, right? So, you buy a savings bond that has $100 face value. But you don't pay $100 for it. You pay $80 for it. And you throw it in a drawer. And after 30 years or 20 years or whatever the maturity of that bond is, you will have $100. That's nice. If you hold on to it for longer than that, you may get more than $100. This is how bonds work. They are safe investments is the main thing. And of all investments in the world, government debt is the safest because governments very rarely default on their debt unless we're talking about cities and counties in California. Okay. The United States has never defaulted on its debts. Germany is not going to default on its debts. Call France a maybe. The United Kingdom won't default on their debts. Japan will get around to paying you eventually. It's just going to take them time. So what Germany has done is they've put out a 30-year bond. It's most the reason this is unique is because up until now, the negative interest bonds have been short-term bonds. Okay? If you want to buy a bond, you're sort of locked into these time frames. There are 3-month bonds, 6-month bonds, 1-year bonds, 3-year bonds, 5-year bonds, 10-year bonds, 20 and 30-year bonds. There's some 15s out there. But you're not going to buy a 17-year bond. You're not going to buy a 6.5-year bond. They're locked into certain periods of time. And the 30-year bond typically carries a much lower interest rate than a short-term bond because it's a longer hedge. It's a longer bet. And over time, generally speaking, you should be getting 2.5%, 3% on your money if you're not investing in equities, okay? So a 30-year bond with a negative rate, and I believe the rate on these bonds is negative 0.69%. So Germany has a 30-year bond, and they say, if you buy a dollar, if you invest a dollar in this 30-year bond, we'll give you 99 cents back. You're basically paying a penny to hold that dollar for 30 years. That's a bad investment, right? Why would anyone do this? Why does this exist? So here's some easier math. If you buy $100 of these bonds, okay, it's going to cost you $6.90 at that 0.69% negative rate for Germany to hold your money for 30 years. So at the end of that time, you've invested $100, and at the end of that 30 years, you're going to get $92.10 back, right? Or $93.10 back. Why would anybody do this? Well, first of all, this is not a product for us. This is not a product for you, okay? Faced with negative interest rates, and by the way, nothing that I say should be taken as financial advice. Okay, you want to talk to your financial advisor. Don't get advice from some guy on the radio. Faced with negative interest rates, you are better off putting your money in a mattress. Okay, not as safe as it is in the bank, but it's not costing you anything to keep it there. You're not growing your money, but you're not losing value on it either, except for what inflation does to it every year. So why in the world would anybody buy a 30-year bond with a negative rate? It's very simple. People are very concerned about stock markets right now. People are very concerned about equities. Equities are stocks. Equities are stocks, commodities, things like gold, things like pork bellies, shares of companies. Those are all equities. Their value goes up and down over time. Everyone is very concerned about what is going to happen with stocks in particular. And whenever this happens, we have what is known in the financial world as a flight to quality. People pull their money out of the stock market and they put it in things that they believe are safer. A lot of people throw money into gold. Don't buy gold, okay? Again, not giving anyone financial advice here, but don't buy gold. Gold speculation is something for people who have piles of money and nothing better to do with it. If you're an average investor and you think you're going to go from your stocks and put the money into gold, don't do it. You're going to lose your money. It's not a solid investment because gold fluctuates like crazy. What most people will do is they'll put the money in bonds because bonds, at least, you're not going to grow your money at the same rate as inflation, but you're not going to lose it. Well, now here's Germany coming along saying, well, buy these bonds. You're going to lose a little money. You're going to lose... you're going to lose about a penny on the dollar if you buy this, but it'll be safe. Who's going to do that? Well, as I say, it's not for us. It's not for you. It's not for me. This is for institutional investors. This is for hedge fund managers. This is for brokerages who have $1 billion that they need to park somewhere. And Germany is basically saying, hey, park your $1 billion over here. We're going to charge you 0.69% over the next 30 years. But the money will still be there. And the reason they're doing this is because you can't put $1 billion in your mattress. Okay. If your sleep number is 1 billion, you are not getting a good night's sleep because money is not comfortable to sleep on. In some cases, we're talking multiple billions of dollars that have to go somewhere when they're not in the stock market. So Germany is saying, come buy these bonds. And when you think about bonds, you need to understand that a bond is a product. It's like anything else that you'd go out and buy. It's like a can of soda. You know, there's two kinds of soda out there. There's Coca-Cola, and then there's store brand, right? And store brand is cheaper, but it tastes terrible. Coca-Cola is more expensive and arguably a better way of getting diabetes. So you're willing to pay more for that, right? What Germany is saying right now is that we have the Coca-Cola of bonds, okay? Yet we're charging 0.69% for you to park your money here. And the reason we're doing that is because the next country that comes out with 30-year bonds is going to charge 1%, maybe 1.5%, maybe 2%. So now you invest your $100 at a 2% interest rate. Over 30 years, well, now I'm not getting $99 back. I'm getting $98 back. Germany is betting that the economy is going to be so bad in the short term that people would rather lose money to keep their cash in a safe place. Big institutional investors, not you and I, big institutional investors would rather keep their money in a safe place and pay for the privilege. And these German bonds will be attractive because they are charging less to park the money than anybody else is. That's what you do when you price bonds. So Germany is sitting there and they're saying, you know what, we got 30-year bonds. There is a lot of pessimism in the market right now. We think people will buy these. And people are. Big institutional investors are buying these bonds because they think the economy is going to go south. Now, that doesn't mean the economy is going to go south. Okay? If you can predict the stock market, you are worth $499 as a consultant an hour or $35,000 a month if you can predict the economy or predict the markets. You can't do it. Nobody can do it. People have tried. Computers can't do it. AI can't do it. You can't predict the markets. But there is enough pessimism out there right now. There's enough fear that the idea of sticking your money in a safe place and paying for the privilege is attractive to some money managers. So what does this mean for the rest of us? This means the recession is coming. If we are at this point where people are buying 30-year notes at negative interest, there is so much pessimism out there that the recession is coming. So what is a recession? A recession is two straight quarters of negative economic growth. It could be negative 0.00001 for two quarters, or it could be negative 30% for two quarters. That last one would be real bad. That last one would be Great Depression territory. Okay. The most recent recession saw high single digit negative growth. The economy contracting by 7%, 8%. People were losing their jobs. People were losing their homes. This is what can happen during a recession. Now, as I've said, and again, not a financial advisor, do not take any of this as sound financial advice. Do with it what you will. This is one man's opinion. In my opinion, there is a lot of overreaction going on in the market right now. I think the recession is going to happen. It's generally expected that it's going to happen. President Trump is going to try and put it off until after November of next year, so he can get reelected, because he will not get reelected if it sets in before then. But everyone thinks the recession is going to happen. No one knows how severe it's going to be, but the only thing anybody has to base their opinion on is the last recession, which was extraordinarily harsh and extraordinarily deep. So people look at that, they say, well, that's the worst case scenario. And they plan around that. I don't think this next recession is going to be anywhere near what we saw in 2008 and 2009. I think it's going to be short. I think it's going to be light. I think it's going to be enough to calm the markets down, and then we can get back to business. If you are invested, if you are in one of the groups that I set out earlier, one is people who are invested. The other is people who are human and breathing. So if you are in the invested group, how you react to this depends on how close you are to retirement. That's where most, if you're just playing the market, I got nothing for you, okay? But most people have a 401k plan, an IRA, an employer-sponsored plan. You need to talk to your financial advisor now. And by now, I mean this week. I mean before Labor Day. Because the people who lose in these markets are the people who wait until the bad things start to happen. You need to get on the phone with your financial advisor now. In particular, if you are less than 10 years from retirement, you need to talk to your financial advisor now. If you are less than 5 years from retirement, you should have talked to your financial advisor yesterday. Negative 30-year bond is enough to motivate that call. And you want to make sure that if your equities, if your stocks lose significant value, which will happen during a recession, that you do not have to alter your retirement plans. If you are retired and living on the income, you have to talk to your financial advisor. And in every one of those cases, 10 years to retirement, 5 years to retirement, living in retirement, you need to ask them the same question. The Dow Jones Industrial Average loses 1,500 points. What happens to me? And if they can't answer that question, you go get another financial advisor. You move that money now. Again, not telling you about products. This is just good general advice. You need an advisor on your side, and you need to be moving on this now. Do not wait. Don't wait. We all know what September does to the stock market. And that all of this tension is building up before the month of September is not a coincidence. Because most money managers expect the bad things to happen in September. You get through September and nothing bad happens. Generally, you're safe until the end of the year. Mid-October is kind of the cutoff. But September is the real red zone for danger in the stock market. This is why you want to pay attention to this news. You want to talk to your financial advisor now. If you're in the second group, you are human and you are breathing. You want to take a good hard look at your savings and your current financial situation. And you want to ask yourself, what happens if I lose my job? How secure are you in your job? Do you think you will survive a contraction of 5% in the economy? Most employees, by the way, will survive a contraction of about 2.5% in the economy. Well, businesses don't want to lay people off unless they absolutely have to. Certain sectors are going to lay people off no matter what, but most businesses can withstand a contraction of 2.5% in the economy. 2.5 to 5 starts to expose vulnerability. Over 5, companies start downsizing. They start downsizing very quickly. I don't think this is going to get to 5%. I don't think this is going to be that bad. Again, my opinion. But when you see things like this going on, you want to sit down, stop, and take stock. You want to ask yourself 3 questions. Number 1, what is the likelihood that I'm going to lose my job if we have a recession? Number 2, do I have enough savings to get me through that if I lose my job? Number 3, what are my prospects for getting another job? What if you are out of work for a year? What if you're out of work for 2 years? Some people were out of work for half a decade during the last recession. Longer. People gave up on the workforce. Watched their entire standard of living disappear because they got caught off guard, because they were not paying attention. Paying attention is the most important thing that you can do right now. If you were in the markets, if you were near retirement, in retirement, 10 years from retirement, you need to talk to your broker and you need to talk to your financial advisor as quickly as possible. If you are human and breathing, you need to take stock of your financial situation right now
ask yourself, what is the likelihood that I lose my job? Do I have enough savings in case that happens? The federal government did a lot to bail people out the last time this happened. Don't expect that to come around again. I don't see Donald Trump throwing a lot of liquidity around the market just to prop things up. So this is why you want to pay attention to this, and this is why you want to do this now. Because if you wait, everybody else is going to be settled out and prepared. You're going to be part of that crowd that is rushing to try and solve a problem quickly. And when it comes to your money, that never works. It is WMFO Medford.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Near Boston 5-day forecast. We have a flash flood watch in effect from the National Weather Service. And that is going to be in effect until midnight tonight. So I think that's midnight. Let me double check this and make sure. Remains in effect through late tonight. They don't say what late tonight is. So active for the next 10 hours. So that's late tonight. That's tomorrow morning. So flash flood watch is in effect. This is pretty much everything east of the Connecticut River. So if you were in eastern Massachusetts, we're going to get the brunt of this tropical depression coming through here. In addition to the rain, there may be some thunder and lightning, heavy downpours, temperatures down into the upper 60s tonight. Tomorrow, the clouds clear out in the morning, sun in the afternoon, high in the low 80s, lows in the mid 60s tomorrow night. It will also be drying out noticeably. And then Friday, oh boy, late summer, winter, sunny skies, high in the mid 80s, low in the mid 60s, nice, dry, enjoyable air. Saturday, a little touch of fall in the air, mostly sunny, high in the upper 70s, low around 60 degrees. And on Sunday, once again, very autumny. Highs in the mid-70s under mostly cloudy skies, low in the low 60s, and Monday, Labor Day, we'll call it great grilling weather, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-70s, low in the mid-60s. Hopefully you got some good plans for Labor Day on tap. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. On the Town with Mikey D will be coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, everything that I predicted about Jeffrey Epstein has happened. We're going to talk about that. New heights of stupidity have been reached on Twitter and at the New York Times. We're going to talk about those as well right after this here on... Oh, wait a second. You know, this is where there's too many buttons to press. And I'm going to press this button, and then we're going to go. This is WMFO Medford.
The next time you're buying bacon, look through that window on the package. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. All bacon packages must have a transparent window so you can see a representative slice. And chances are, if you check the window, you can get the kind of bacon you like. Bacon with a high proportion of lean is obviously a better buy. Bacon with the lean distributed as streaks throughout the slice will be more attractive and crisper when cooked.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.